Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. How's it going?
It's going. It's a good little, it's going to be a good day today since we're recording in the morning now, but things are all right. That's all. I think, things are all right. I didn't really do anything since the last time we talked. I don't think. Played a lot of sand volleyball, but that's about it.
Gotcha.
How about you? How are you?
About the same. I also haven't really done anything super out of the ordinary, but...
I mean, for me, out of the ordinary is going to a movie theater and watching a movie, so I did that.
After this, though, I'm going to a study session at my office.
Oh, nice.
Learn some more about the tests.
Very cool. On a Sunday, too. Gross.
Yeah.
Have you started studying for them?
Nope. That's why I am going to the session.
Yeah.
This will be me starting studying.
Nice.
How about you?
Well, then, since we don't have much really that's changed since our last podcast.
Have you started studying?
No. Nah. Not yet. I started studying, honestly, I've been taking like practice lead tests and I've been passing them. So I just need to like actually do the exam.
Are you trying to get that done first?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm ready for it. I just need to actually do it. But I'm the type of dude that's like, I need to study more.
And then you don't.
Well, I do, but it's just like really irregular, especially with like, you know, the personal things that have been going on in my life lately. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I haven't studied at all, but it's hard to find motivation to study because like studying already isn't fun. But then also like anytime that I'm not working, I don't want to think about work.
No, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, like, even the title, once you get it, that's really it. I don't know. There's, like, no motivation after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe it'll be different when I'm, if and when I change jobs, maybe it'll feel more exciting. But watching what the licensed architects do at my current firm, I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, basically.
So I'm like, I'm not as... like pushed to get my license right now because I feel like it's not I don't see the positive impact of it on the other side aside from like a pay raise.
Yeah, that's basically all it is. I mean, that's nice and all, but it's just so much time and effort and money to take these exams.
Just
for me, the pay at the end is just, I don't know, man, it's hard. Like, sure, like one day I might want to do it, but as of right now, like, there's like other things in life that I kind of want to get to before I'm like older and have a family. I need to settle down.
Yeah.
I feel like getting a kid is a really good motivation because you're like at home, you can't really do much, but like take care of a kid. And then that's where you're like, well, now like my kid is the motivation to get a pay raise versus like right now it's like, I don't know. There's just so much other things like more to do.
Yeah.
But that's just like where I'm at. And no one like pushes it either, really.
Well, I think I just want to... And obviously, I feel like this is what every architecture student wants. But like, I just want to be on like a design team. And I feel like the only people in my atmosphere right now in my job are like drafters who like, I don't really get to make any huge design decisions. Like I can like, ooh, I decided to put the hand dryer 3 inches this way. But
interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's just like your firm though, because I'm on the design team like big time, and I work on big changes, like how the whole exterior of the building looks or how the whole floor plan layout is. And then of course, like the architect and I work together and then tweak things here and there, like, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I feel like I might get more motivation when I change jobs. Cause right now all of the design decisions are made by Walmart. So I'm just like implementing what they want. Rather than actually coming up with anything.
Yeah, no, I feel that. But again, like, I'm not licensed, but I'm doing like massive changes. And the architect's like, well, like, your design, what do you think?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
And then like the all of the licensed architects that we have, because I mean, obviously, even though they're licensed, they also don't get to tell Walmart what to do because Walmart is the biggest like company in the world. So pretty much all they do is like look over our drawings and they're like, yeah, that looks good. And then they put their signature on it.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, how it be sometimes. But besides that, what movie are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about John Wick Chapter 4, which came out, I want to say like 4-ish weeks ago. I could probably find an exact release day, but
March 6th.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess about, almost 2 months ago then.
Yeah, quite a while, but I mean, it's still in the theaters. So.
Yeah, still in theaters. Same cast and crew as before. Had a estimated budget of $100 million. And like you said, it is still in theaters, but as of right now, it has made $354 million.
Let's go. That's a good number. 3x. Yeah. We like that.
So yep, no, go ahead.
I was already gonna go on like to what you thought about the movie.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I wanna say if I had to like rank them, this might be my second favorite after the first one.
After the first, okay.
I'd say.
I think I would agree with that.
Like 1, 4, 3, 2.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was yawning there, but yes.
I'm a little more open to changing 2 and 3. It could be 1, 4, 2, 3, but I feel like a lot more happens in the third one. So I'd say it. The action sequences are cooler in the third one than the second one.
Although Wick does kill us people.
True.
Yeah.
But he kills them in better ways.
Very true. Very true.
There's already another movie set to come out next year called The Ballerina, which takes place between, I believe, 2 and 3.
And John Wick is the main character or what?
No, there's a different main character.
Okay.
It's like a side story that takes place at the same time as the John Wick movies.
Is John Wick going to be in that movie?
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't like really understand like these universes.
And then
like,
there's
the thought process behind them.
There's a TV series coming out about the Continental. I don't really know.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Anything else about it besides that? But
I could see that being a pretty good series. They in the movies they like really left the Continentals open, and there's like multiple of them. We only saw 2 or 3.
I think total. Throughout the series we've seen three, right?
Yeah,
maybe 4. Well, hold on. There's the New York one. There's the Moroccan one, and there's the Osaka one.
I forgot about the New York one. Wait, yeah, the Moroccan.
Yeah, the Moroccan Continental is the one they go to in 3.
Right. And then this John Wick 4, they go to
Osaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I guess only 3. I could have sworn there was another one, but maybe I'm just making stuff up in my head. Because I don't think they didn't visit. There wasn't a Continental in Paris, was there?
I don't think so.
Huh. All right. Well, but yeah, how was your theater experience?
It was good, dude. Honestly, there were so little people in the movie theater. Granted, I went at like 9:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
But like the reason I don't like movie theaters, like I drive 30 minutes out, right, to go to this theater just because it has the earliest view time.
Okay.
I get there, you know, on time, and then it's fucking thousands of commercials. Granted, I was texting you about some of these.
Yeah.
That are like pretty cool, but dude, I don't get out of the movie theater till like 12, and I'm like, dude, this was supposed to be from 9:15. It took me 3 hours plus to get out of there.
That's yeah, crazy. It's 2-hour and 49-minute film.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought I was gonna get out of there earlier. Maybe it was like 12:30 or something like that. But I don't like when they're like, yeah, the movie's gonna start at 9:15, and then it doesn't start till like 9:45, kind of thing. Yeah. I'm like, dude, what?
The theater I go to, it's usually like 5 minutes past. So like, if you go to like a 7:30 showing, it'll be like 7:35 the movie starts.
Yeah, see, that's fair. I just felt like mine, I was sitting there for quite a while because they like halved in the lights and then they kept playing commercials and shit.
Interesting.
And then at one point, the movie started like way later and I'm like...
Okay. Well, you must have gotten there really early then, because I know they do like, they'll do like the like silly like theater ads where it's like, oh, let's do a weird trivia game or like talk about popcorn and all that stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they go into like the proper movie trailers.
I think it came on the butt end of that. because like right when I sat down, they were like, thanks for enjoying this trivia, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I came right on time. But no, there were like only maybe total 6 or 7 people in there. And I enjoyed that. And here and there, like we laughed at some of the jokes that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a dead theater, but I don't know. I had a good time. I wasn't crammed in there. The air was fresh, you know, that kind of thing.
That's nice. What theater was it?
It was an AMC theater.
I gotcha.
And the seats were red leather.
I don't think we have any AMCs around here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The theater I go to is called Malco.
Yeah, I went to a mainstream theater.
Don't got none of them.
No. There's like an AMC like right up the road from me, like a walk away, 2 minute walk. And
but it didn't have as early of a time.
No, they didn't even have John Wick at that one.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I guess They're already like starting to drop off of some theaters. I mean, you like we said, it came out almost 2 months ago. So
true. So after, you know, it's not in the theaters, is it anywhere that you can stream it or do you have to buy it?
I don't know what their plans are afterwards. Because I know right now, like the other 3 John Wick movies, I don't think they're on any streaming services. Let me check. It says right now they're on Peacock.
Hmm. Okay.
So maybe the 4th one will also come out on Peacock. I don't have Peacock, so I don't know.
I don't either.
But yeah, what did you have any other thoughts about what you thought about the movie?
I would say that it was a great mixture between like action and adventure. I quite enjoyed the setup that they had for it this time. I feel like it was very like crisp and to the point, like why they were doing something. And like, I don't know, it was like a good watch, but it wasn't like one of those where like I would sit down and just like kind of zone out and it would make sense. Like there were certain instances in it where I was like thinking about stuff and I don't know, it was pretty good. It was good. That was all my thoughts.
All right. Well, then let's take a step into the boxing ring.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Let me see.
For anyone listening for the first time, Luke and I are going to compete to see who can summarize the movie in a way that is closest to the description given on letterboxd.com.
Yep. It is your turn first.
All righty. I've been like, since I saw the movie, because I saw the movie on Wednesday, and I've been like slowly trying to think of a summary since then.
Jesus.
I'm like, what if I said this? What about this?
I'm thinking about it right now, baby.
So, I'm going to say John Wick is out for revenge against the High Table in this globe-trotting adventure that turns friends into enemies.
Okay. I would say... John Wick is out to, I'm going to say the first lines. I tried in my head to like split it up and not do what you did at the start, but there's nothing else I could say. John Wick is out to seek revenge against the High Table, which entails him calling on his old family and calling on old friends whom you have to conduct business with and against. I think I'll keep it at that.
All right. All right. This is what it says. With the price on his head ever increasing, John Wick uncovers a path to defeating the High Table. But before he can earn his freedom, Wick must face off against a new enemy with powerful alliances across the globe and forces that turn old friends into foes.
Okay. Well, you said friends to foes, right?
I said friends to enemies, but...
That's the thing I would say.
And I mentioned globe trotting, and they said across the globe.
Bro, how do you even think that that's going to be in the fucking thing? That makes no sense.
Because he literally went to, like, 4 different countries, and I feel like globe trotting is a word that people use things like that.
No one does that. Okay, but you get it. You get it. All right. Cayman wins. I lose.
Just for funsies, do you want to try and guess how many people he killed in this movie?
I would say maybe 68 people.
Okay. I'm going to say, you know what? It's done me good in the past. I'm going to stick with my guess of 100.
All right.
Okay. It says here, a fan on Twitter said that they kept count during the movie. And said that John killed 140 people.
What? I don't trust the fan count.
I
140 people.
I'm unable to find a more official count right now. Hold on.
Do you actually think he killed 140 people? I don't even... What? Where was all the killings at? So much of the movie was dialogue. Interesting.
Well, I mean, there were some scenes where he killed, like, a lot of people.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the stairs scene.
And the one around the Arc de Triomphe.
Huh.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we will come back for spoilers.
Let's do it.
Break over.
And we're back, and...
This is the spoilers section. If you don't want the movie spoiled, don't listen.
The voice kind of got, like, significantly deeper in the middle there.
It was a very important part. Don't listen. Okay, well, since we watched the movie in theaters, I was not about to pull my phone out in front of these six people and take notes. I'm not that kind of guy.
You were like in a seat where no one could see you?
Nah, there was a guy two seats to my left because we both wanted like the center-ish seats.
I got you.
I hate being off to one side, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I have exactly one note. So
all right.
I'm ready. I mean, granted, I watched the movie yesterday, so it's pretty fresh in my mind, you know, so.
All right, well, let me have it.
Well, it's more of like a fun fact note. About John Wick's weapon that he used at the very end of the movie.
Okay.
Which was the Viper's Pit gun.
Yep.
And that fucking gun, just stock, is $7,000, that handgun.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I was like, shit, maybe I want to buy that gun. No. If John Wick uses it, it must be good.
The TTI Pit Viper.
Yes.
Which TTI is... Terran Tactical Innovations.
What does that even mean? Terran Tactical?
It's just the name of the weapons manufacturer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I saw that gun. It was a really good-looking gun, man. And they hyped it up, dude. They hyped it up.
Yeah, and it looked like they had put some modifications on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like a red dot, probably lighter barrel. They said something about like a 4-pound, no, 2-pound trigger pull, which is... unbelievably sensitive.
And there was a I forget what they called it because I don't know gun terms, but there was something that was supposed to eliminate muzzle flip.
Yeah, the balancing of the weapon, I guess.
Yeah. And there was like something on there.
Gun.
Yeah, the safety is on both sides.
Yeah.
And
although I never see John actually switching hands with the weapon, I don't think in the movie.
I wasn't really paying attention to
it. I didn't either. Yeah, I just thought of that. I was like, huh. I mean, they did mention it, so I mean, maybe at one point
they
did.
And then they also mentioned that like the part of the gun, I guess, like right near where the barrel is, was like sharpened or something like that, because he was like
Fibers
it has
pit.
Strong fangs or something like that. And
yeah,
there's
did a see that in the movie
scene later on where like after he runs out of bullets, he like takes the top off of the gun and just starts stabbing people with it.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever handled a weapon, but like if you disassemble the weapon, the bottom part, which is like the handle, the trigger, and then the bottom slide of the weapon,
yeah,
it is actually, you know, you can sharpen the front of those. It's and it looks kind of like a viper's fang. It's very cool.
Yeah, but that was definitely cool. I also think, since we're on the topic of guns, the Dragon's Breath shotgun, amazing.
I don't know how I felt about it, but it did look really cool when they shot it.
I friggin' loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a great weapon. And when they filmed these, all of this is CGI, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so like they did a fantastic job with that Dragon Breath.
And shot the scene as well.
Yeah,
was,
just for those
really
people
cool.
That don't know what Dragon's Breath is, do you mind explaining what you saw?
So basically there is, they don't talk about what kind of fuel it is. I would assume maybe like thermite or something like that. But basically the rounds when you fire them, there's like this huge explosion of sparks, and then it like immediately ignites the person that you shoot with it.
Yeah, so yeah, they have that in all of the Call of Duties. Dragon Breath is OP when it comes out every time. Just
yeah,
fucking one, two shots you. But no, it looked amazing in the movie. I do kind of think, though, that, I don't know, I think maybe they, I mean, I guess maybe not. I don't know. I was thinking maybe they used it too much, in my opinion.
I mean, it was really just that one scene.
Yeah, but you know how many people he shot with that? And how many True. Rounds he was fucking just popping off?
Yeah, but I trust them because they usually keep very good count of their bullets yeah, in these movies. True. So if he shot that many rounds, I'm assuming that that shotgun does in fact hold that many rounds.
Maybe I had like an extendo clip, baby. But yeah, I think that was definitely a pretty cool part of the movie. It's kind of like what, maybe middle-ish?
It's in the last third, I would say. The
last third, okay.
Because there's a couple right. scenes in New York, but honestly, most of this movie does not take place in New York. The first section of the movie is in Japan, and then there's a section in Germany, and then the last section is in France.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I will say, I don't know, maybe this is like a behind the scenes thing and the actor like wasn't able to return or something like this, but I thought it was kind of weird that they all of a sudden had a new elder out in the desert.
Right. Yeah, they said the other elder had passed.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, I guess that's always a risk when you're an assassin, but I feel like no one else except for John Wick would try to kill the elder.
Yeah, I wish they would have explained that a bit more, or just been like, he died of old age or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, only John Wick is going to go up there and fucking murk one of them, which is what he did in this movie.
Yeah, but like I said, I think there's a chance it might have just been like the person who played the elder last time wasn't available, so they just had to get a different person.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Although, I think it would have been better if it was the older actor, just because like we kind of have an attachment to him just because he
won it would feel John's ring. It would feel more satisfying if it was the same guy.
I agree.
So I wasn't really. And then,
like,
what
did he say about the ring? He was like, John was like, I need my ring back, and he said something.
He said he doesn't have it. He said it's gone, just like the elder before me, or something like that.
Yeah, none of that was explained. I don't know why he didn't, because like they made that scene so like so dramatic, right? With like the horse chase, John missing a million shots from the horse. Yeah, but I feel like John missed too many shots, in my opinion, honestly. To kill these three guys, I think he missed maybe like 9 to 12 bullets.
I mean, they were a good distance ahead of him, I feel like.
Maybe, but like the horse is a big target, as are the guys, so.
Yeah, but John's not going to shoot horses.
Yeah, but I mean, if he is bad aim because he's on a horse, you know, a stray bullet could nick one.
It's true.
But you know, I think that was like such like a big opener. And then nothing really came of it, honestly. The guy was like, sorry, that old elder isn't here, but, you know, killing me isn't going to do anything for you. And he's like, well, whatever. And then kills him. And then that was it.
Well, I think it's just showing that John is, like, really just trying to kill every single person attached to the high table. He's like, right. I'm going to kill all the members. I'm going to kill the person above the table. I'm going to kill every... Although, for having such an intense... like revenge mission, he only ends up killing one member of the high table.
Right.
But I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, he tried his best.
That's kind of where I think it went wonky, because I almost feel like he took the easy way out by doing the dueling. So basically, because the high table has these old rules, if John is a part of a family with a family crest that's a part of the high table, that family can support John in calling out a duel with with that one guy that was from the high table. And then this is what doesn't make sense to me. It's like, if he wins, then everything is forgiven and everything's reinstated. And I'm like, why doesn't everyone just, you know, accept that risk? Because it's 50-50 versus if you're out there running. Huh?
You mean like everyone who like gets a bounty put on them?
Yeah, everyone that gets a bounty put on them, or everyone where the high table is kind of against them.
Well, I feel like you have to survive long enough to get to that point. I feel like most of the time, if the high table's trying to kill you, you're probably not going to live that long.
Right. But I mean, like, if you call for a duel, then they can't just like, I mean, I guess, yeah, you have to survive long enough, but I don't know.
But all, because you, like, you have to get, like, face to face with someone who's at the high table, because even in this movie, when they first brought it up, like, John said that he thought it was a myth. Remember?
That's true.
Winston was like, no, it's totally real. You can do it. But, like, I'm guessing most people either don't know about it or they know about it but think that it's fake.
Yeah. Speaking of Winston, I do like how the movie was dedicated to his prior... What was the job title that he held?
Concierge.
Concierge, yeah.
Sharon, played by Lance Reddick.
Yeah, I like how they basically, at the very beginning, they basically said in memory of Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
And then they actually had him in the movie at the very beginning.
Yeah, and I was blown away that, I mean, like, I don't know, it feels weird to me when a character in a movie dies and then very shortly after the actor who played that character also dies.
Right. Do you think they had planned that out?
I mean, how would they have known that he was going
to
die?
Do you think he maybe knew that he was, you know, close to passing?
I mean, it's possible, but I don't know.
I think he made that happen for himself.
I think it was probably planned from the beginning because... chapter 4 is really set up to be sort of a finale for the series.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's insane.
But yeah, speaking of the duel, I thought it was pretty cool. I liked those. They had like specific dueling pistols. I don't remember what they're called, but they're like each of them only holds one bullet at a time.
Yep. And they're extremely, usually dueling pistols are pretty hard to aim with. It's kind of RNG.
Yeah.
But yeah, like very antique. And then basically you walk 30 paces and then I've always seen it where like you're facing the opposite direction and then you like get told like shoot and then you turn and fire versus here. I don't know which way is the right way, but here they were like facing each other and just, you know, had guns down to their side and then pulled the gun up to shoot.
Yeah. That's more of like a Old West kind of a duel.
Right. Okay.
And because there's lots of different kinds of styles of dueling. There's another one where like rather than shooting at the same time, you like take turns.
Yeah.
Or it's like you like flip a coin and then it's like, all right, you have to stand here and let this person shoot at you. And then if you survive, you can shoot them.
Right. Right. So what did you think about the shots that were taken? Granted, this is like the very end of the movie, but if you're listening to this, this means that you've recently watched, I hope. And well, we're kind of just talking about it because we, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone through our spoiler warning. So anyone still listening, they know what's up.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, so what do you think about the shots that were taken?
I think, I mean, like you said, there's like, you can't be as precise with dueling pistols, I feel like. But also you could tell that neither of them really were like aiming for a kill shot. Like the first time they like both like just grazed each other's arms. And then the second time there was like kind of a like side gut shot on Kane. And then John got hit like kind of in his shoulder.
Right.
And they're just like, they're like getting each other's outside parts.
Right, right. The non-lethal shots, hopefully. And then the third shot, Kane takes a shot and hits John in his gut.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a chaotic scene. And then, like, you know, John kind of falls over. And then that European dude, forget his name.
He is the Marquis Vincent de Grandmont.
Yes, Frenchman. The Frenchman, he wanted to, like, finish him off. Right. He wanted to have John Wick's name under his belt that he killed John Wick kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Winston kind of riled him up for that because when Winston like went to the art museum or wherever the hell he was and gave him the challenge, he kind of like put it into his head that like, oh, like you could have John Wick's name under like you killed him. You know how like amazing that would be for you and how cool that would be and you'd be so famous, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it kind of felt dumb to me that it was like the entire success of John's plan really rested on the fact that this guy had a tremendous ego.
Massive, yeah.
Like, if he had just been like, no, I'm not accepting a fucking duel, I don't care, then...
No, he had to accept it, though.
I don't think he did have to. I think it's, like, maybe a little disgraceful if he didn't, but I don't think it's, like, no one would have killed him if he didn't. Like, it's not, he's not forced to, I don't think so.
I think Winston said, like, rules are rules. Like, you have to accept the wager, part of what you do.
Yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, either way, his ego did get in the way, and boy, did he pay for it, because...
Yeah, he says he wants to claim the coup de grace, which is usually, like, if you want to end someone's suffering, you're like, I'm going to give him a final, like, death blow kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, yeah, because like you were saying, John had fallen onto the ground, but he didn't instantly die. And so, normally in that situation, you'd be like, well... I'm not going to just let you sit here and bleed out. I'll go ahead and finish you off.
Right.
But
so he went to him, and then they basically stopped and they're like, no, like John hasn't fired a shot yet.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly what John said. He was like, oh, what did he fucking
say? Well, because Winston said rules, and then John said and consequences.
And consequences. That's what he said. Yes.
Because the rules of the duel are you can't fire until the last round is over. And the last round isn't over until both people have fired their shot.
Shot. Right, right. And then he fucking shot him straight in the dome.
Yeah.
Which was like kind of unfair because he went a lot closer to John than he was supposed to be for the shot. But
that's true.
I guess John didn't approach him. The other guy did. So fuck it.
Yeah. And the Harbinger didn't say anything about it. So.
No, no.
Which I will say, so, that was one thing I was a little worried about in the beginning when... Because in the last movie, chapter 3, we had the adjudicator, and there was like all of the stuff happening with them. And then the opening of this movie, we get the Harbinger, and it's just like this guy walks into Winston's office and puts this fat ass, what's it called? With the hourglass.
Yeah, a massive
fat hourglass on the table.
Fat,
and he's like,
extra thick.
He's like, get your shit together. Because this hotel's being condemned, and they like started going into like the weird exposition-y kind of stuff again, where they're like, oh, well, this is what a Harbinger does and blah blah blah, and I was like, oh no, is this gonna be like this again? Because like I've already talked about how much I don't like that stuff, but luckily, yeah. I think that was like that was the only time in the movie where they really explained a bunch of shit. The rest of it wasn't bad.
Right.
But yeah, and then he like goes to this other office and they literally blow up the hotel.
Yeah, I mean they consequences, right? They blow up the hotel because it was excommunicado, and then that's where Winston, where I feel like Winston honestly should have fucking gotten shot here. It would have been really cool if Winston got killed, and then,
well, he explained it away as the reason he didn't kill Winston is because if they killed him, then he would just become a martyr.
What is a martyr?
It's someone who like dies for their belief and is like idolized for it. Like oh, Jesus is right. A martyr.
Okay, gotcha.
And so they don't want people being like, oh yeah, this person stood up against the high table and they killed him for it, and like thinking of Winston as a great person. So they didn't kill him and instead just like took everything away from him. They took his hotel, they took his concierge. They're like, instead of killing you, we're just gonna make you worthless.
Yeah. And I mean, it worked. It worked. And it's interesting, like Winston, he's smart enough because at the end he, you know, he joined John Wick on the wager, basically putting his life on the line.
Yeah.
Basically his terms were like, you're going to reinstate me to everything I own. You're going to rebuild the hotel. And
I will say though, I don't know, this just, there are several things in the movie that add on to my belief that either everyone is an assassin or everyone knows about the assassins.
I knew you were going to talk about this.
But the first thing is, how in the fuck that I don't believe that they like completely prepared a building for demolition in 1 hour.
I think like to become a Continental building, you basically,
it was like built with the bombs inside.
Yeah, basically. That's what I'm thinking at least.
But even then, like they would have had, I don't know, unless they just like, I don't care who dies, but like usually, especially in a place like Manhattan, you would have to get some serious permitting to demolish a building.
They're not gonna go through permitting.
But that's what I'm saying. Like
in the movie, they're like, okay, and we went to the permit guy and we got our permit. And
but I'm just like, You can't just blow up a, you would, they would literally be considered terrorists if they just blew up a building in the middle of New York.
I mean, yeah, unless,
but it seems it like no one proven. Seems to care.
Yeah, no one cares about that. No, yeah, I mean, that's, I since you said it, Dirt 4, 2, and 3, I was thinking about that when I was watching Chapter 4, like I just said, and I was like, oh, he's definitely going to say something about, you know, like, people either not paying attention to killings or, like, the building blowing up in the middle of New York, and, like, just kind of, you know, nonchalantly, like, yeah, yep. It happened.
The other big one for me was at the Arc de Triomphe when... First of all, the Arc de Triomphe is a ginormous fucking roundabout. Like, it's huge, but it's only like, I want to say like 6 lanes, maybe 7, like super wide for a road. But also the amount of like cutaways they had were like bad guys were like driving up and like they would like stop their car sideways and hop out and like
and the cars a couple scenes where like around.
Cars yeah. got flipped over. I'm like, that street would have been blocked off in 30 seconds
in a heartbeat.
Like, there ain't no way all these cars are still driving around,
right?
And right. then even then, like, they're literally having a shootout in the middle of the street and people are just like honking at them and driving around, and there's even a couple people who like John Wick will like throw someone onto someone's windshield and the person just like keeps driving. Like, yeah, what kind of fucking world is this that people are just like, ah, oh, another shootout in the street, come on, get out of the way, and right. starts honking at them,
right? Yeah, I don't know. It was very strange. I feel like, I don't know. It's like, if you see people shooting at each other, there's like a ton of roadblocks. Like, people are getting hit by cars. And if I'm someone driving, I don't know what I would do. I just wouldn't drive past them. I'd go somewhere else maybe. But like, they had way too many scenes where like they were dodging cars. Or like yeah. a bus went between them. Or I don't know. Like, just too much. And then they had like some aerial shots where there was like a big traffic jam. And I'm like, well... Why didn't that happen from the get-go? It would have been way cooler if they were like running on top of cars and like yeah. like jumping through windows of the cars.
That like, would I understand they wanted to make it like different, and having the cars as obstacles is like an exciting set piece. It's but yeah, I feel like I would have liked it more if it was like they hop out and maybe there's like a little bit, like 2 seconds of them dodging cars. But then after a few seconds, they've blocked all the traffic and then they're just like running in between cars. And then it becomes like kind of like not like hide and seek, but you know how like
cat and mouse.
Yeah, like they're like ducking under cars and like hiding right. between things. And that could have been exciting as well.
Yeah. Or like running and like sliding over the hood of the car and like shooting backwards, or like. I don't know, like, a scene could have been, like them busting through one of the car windows to jump to the other side. I don't fucking know, right? But, like, yeah. I don't know, they could have done a lot with that. Or, like, opening car doors to, like, prevent bullets from hitting them, using it as shield.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
But I think that was probably my least favorite fight scene in this movie. I think all the other ones were really good, honestly.
I would say the fight scene with the man with the gold teeth, the high table guy.
Oh, yeah?
Was a little boring for me. I'll be real. I don't know. They just buffed him way too much. They made him way too strong and way too, I don't know. Like, nothing that John did really hurt him. And then John really didn't even finish him off at the end. It was his fall that killed him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I thought it was fun.
It was okay. Like, but John was just getting his ass handed to him. And then all of a sudden he comes out on top. I feel like if they would have made his death like a little bit more creative, granted, it was insane to see him falling on his head and just like fucking split his head open.
But one thing I did notice.
Yeah. And the neck was snapped. One thing I did notice that this movie had way less blood for killing 140 something people.
I guess. Yeah.
Any blood. Like that massive scene of fighting on the stairs when he was trying to get up to the church, the final steps, like there's just no blood anywhere. And I feel like, I don't know, if I'm like an assassin, I'm killing like 50 people on the staircase, right? There's going to be a lot of blood. And I feel like they should have made like almost like kind of a funny scene, but it's like literal, like him slipping on blood and like slipping down the stairs because of the blood, that kind of thing.
They did have him falling down the stairs, which I was honestly kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. But he was tossed, you know?
Yeah, but it was like there's 222 steps going up to the soccer court in Paris. And after a long ass fight scene of him battling his way up these stairs, he gets to the top. And then there's this, I don't even know if this guy has a name, but there's this,
the bodyguard.
He's either Portuguese or Brazilian. He speaks Portuguese, but I don't know. Obviously, Portugal and Brazil both speak Portuguese. I don't know where he's from. But
right.
This big guy who is like in the entire movie, and I don't know, they were like trying to make him feel like a mini boss kind of a person, but I just like, I don't know, I didn't really care about him that much.
Yeah, I was
like not attached to him at all.
I did enjoy though that when he died, because he almost shot the dog of that black guy.
Yeah.
Don't know his name. Nobody is what they called him. And because like John like didn't choose to kill Nobody, he chose to shoot at the, you know, the small mini boss.
Yeah.
At one point he was like, "You shot at my pup," and then he fucking shoots him in the face after the dog is like tearing off his nuts.
Yeah.
I like that, and he had then, a nuts command for the dog.
Yeah, then he gets to the top of the stairs and the guy just like shoves him and he falls down all 222 steps.
Oh god, yeah.
And it's the fucking funniest thing.
He fell down more than once. Like, I wonder how many steps in total he had to climb.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fucking lot.
But yeah, I love the tracker only has two commands for his dog, kill and nuts.
Yeah. I think the dog scenes in this movie were way better, though, than Chapter 3.
Yeah.
I think this dog, it, like, made more sense, like, where the dog was coming from and how the dog was doing it, versus, like, in the other one, like, the dogs were kind of coming out of, like, these weird areas and just, you know, mauling people.
Yeah, gotcha.
But yeah, I think less commands is better.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go.
What do you think about John dying in this movie?
I think I am totally open to it. I think it's a little bit up for interpretation, because it could also be argued that like they just like made it look like he, like they faked his death so that he could properly retire and people wouldn't bother him anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of where my mind was at, like when the dog like did the like and like looked like one of the ways, that's where I was like, oh, is John walking in? But like they never really showed what the dog was looking at.
Yeah, but it would also,
the dog heard.
It's totally fine if he did actually die, because I mean he went through a lot, and like it's what else was he gonna do?
Yeah, I mean he did ask Winston, he was like, "You're gonna take me home, right?" And
yeah,
was like, "Yes." So I don't know if that was interpreted like, "You'll bring me back to the States so I can heal," or if that or was like, "You're gonna bring
my
home
body
next
home.
To yeah,
yeah,
or bury me next to my girl,"
yeah,
kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think the big parts of the movie where we already like went through, if there's anything like,
I will say there was it was already a little ridiculous at the end of the third one when he falls off the top of the hotel and then somehow survives.
Oh my, yeah.
But then in this movie, there's also like two or three other times where he has like a super high fall. And
he jumps off the building.
Yeah, I'm just like, what the hell is going on that you're surviving these falls? That's insane.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. They just make John Wick to outlook be this guy that can just fucking jump five stories and be fine.
Yeah, it's like honestly it's like it's kind of crazy how just invincible he is. And I think that was another thing that I like wasn't a huge fan of, in because like in the second movie he gets his fancy bulletproof suit,
right?
And it almost makes it feel like he's not really that good of an assassin, because like if he like
keeps getting shot at.
Yeah, because like yeah, if he didn't have that suit he would be dead many times over.
Oh,
because
yeah,
people
absolutely
shoot him constantly. He only survives because of his suit. Whereas I feel like in the first one, when he didn't have the fancy suit, he had to like put more work in to like not get shot.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe like one of the things, like, I don't know, for movie franchises, it's just better for them to get shot at, you know, and shot.
Yeah. I will say, though, they kind of evened it out a little bit in this movie, because some of the bad guys also had bulletproof suits. So then it like, It wasn't like super invincible John Wick against everyone else. It was like he still had to try because other people were also bulletproof.
Right. But like it made it like kind of boring for me, honestly, like knowing that they had bulletproof suits.
And then they also had the like super SWAT guys again at the Osaka hotel.
Yeah, but they weren't as OG this time.
They were not as OG. And I think John, obviously having dealt with that before, knew how to fight them more effectively. The one thing that was confusing me is like he was doing the same thing where like he would run up and like shoot up under their mask in their weak spot or whatever, but then all of the Continental employees just like had like bows and arrows and were like easily penetrating their armor. And I don't know, that I feel like if that armor can like completely deflect like assault rifles, there's no way an arrow's getting through it. Like that's
I don't know. I don't know, because like an arrow is so much more weight, and like the tip of an arrow is actually like a tip versus like a bullet is kind of like dull at the tip.
Yeah, but it's so much more power.
Yeah, but like the power versus like weight.
I don't know. Unless they have some crazy. I did try to watch. Bows. I mean, obviously, I don't know what kind of arrows they had and specifically what kind of armor it is. But I watched a YouTube video after I saw the movie because I was like, that doesn't feel realistic. And there's a person online who had like Kevlar, like soft armor, and then plate armor, which is like much harder. And
yeah.
he shot at both of them with two different kinds of bows. And like the soft armor, the arrows can get through. But the plate armor, it was literally just like bouncing off.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I just kind of took it as like they got some fancy ass shit that'll penetrate armor. I don't know. Or they like shot at like the seams of the armor. I don't know.
I loved the Osaka Continental. It was fun, and the those two ginormous bodyguards.
Yeah, and don't let anyone through.
You never
see what happens with those guys though.
No. And I guess Donnie Yen, we haven't talked about yet. Amazing, true. Amazing performer and martial artist. I don't know if, because I haven't seen every Donnie Yen movie in the world, but it was a little strange to me that he's also playing a blind guy in this, because the last movie that I saw him in was Rogue One, where he also played like a blind martial artist person.
Hey,
is this just his thing?
It's just his thing. He likes being blind in movies and pretending he's a badass.
But it felt a great job. Yeah, it felt a lot more practical in this one too, because he wasn't just like obviously in Star Wars, he's like using the Force to find his way around.
Right.
But
right.
In this one, he like there was a part where he's like in the kitchen and he sets up a bunch of motion detectors. Yeah. And then when someone walks by, it makes a ringing noise, and then he just like shoots that way.
In that, yeah, the direction. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand exactly how like being blind and all that jazz works, so I can't really. But like the stairs scene to me was a little bit interesting, I would say.
Yeah.
But granted, I mean, if you're a
fucking interesting, assassin, like in a bad way.
Yeah, just for his character, because like there was so much there that was against him, right? It was just.
I gotcha.
There's stairs, there's like the railing, there's dudes coming at him, and I don't know.
I will say there were...
He also kind of appears out of nowhere to help John.
Yeah, I don't know where the fuck he came from, but...
He was like, John, is that you? Like, yeah,
bitch, well, but also there was that DJ person who was like announcing John's location all night.
Yeah.
Which I also thought was kind of a cool scene. It was just like random like smooth jazz like radio station, and this person's like, hey, who wants to kill John Wick?
I'm gonna tell you his location all night long.
Yeah,
whoever kills him before sunrise gets this massive prize.
Yeah, what was it? It was ended up being like 40 million.
Yeah, something 46 million, I think.
Something like 45? That. It was mid big 40s.
Number. Yeah, it was a big ass number.
Yeah.
I do commend the nobody hitman.
The tracker.
I do commend him. Yeah, the tracker. I do commend him for not taking the deal and just killing John and getting the money.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It was kind of weird, his whole situation, because in the beginning, he helps because he's like, the pot's not high enough. So I'm going to keep you alive until they raise the bounty and then I'll kill you.
Right.
And then he keeps getting like approached by the marquee. And he tells him, he's like, well, if you want my help, you're going to need to offer me more money. And the marquee is like, fuck you, we'll find someone else. And then he like keeps helping John. And then towards the end, he's like getting phone calls. And the marquee is like, fine, I'll pay you the friggin' 40 million or whatever. And then he's like, all right. And then there's like, even then, there's like 2 seconds of a fight between them. And then, like you mentioned earlier, John saves his dog, and then he's like, all right, I guess fuck the money, I'll just help you.
Yeah, well, at one point he was going to shoot John, but then you heard the dog whimpering next to him, so he kind of didn't. He felt like the dog knew that he saved his life, and
yeah,
I don't know, I guess the money wasn't worth it to him at that
point. I don't know, I feel like,
and then he was there for the duel too.
It's honestly strange
that
John, I don't think John ever had to fight the dog.
No.
Which I feel like is strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like if I, knowing John's history of like, would do anything for a dog, whatever, I feel like if I was the tracker and I was like, my job is to kill him, the first thing I'm doing is sending the dog after him.
Yeah, but
do you like take advantage of his weakness?
Yeah, true. That's a gamble though, because he had to kill John, you know?
I mean, yeah, but you could still like, while your dog is on him, like finish him off.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It felt a little strange to me.
Yeah. I think it was strange that the tracker was there at the very end at the duel. He was just kind of like sitting on the park bench drinking.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell like what his location was. Like, where was he?
He was off because to like the left somewhere.
There's like never like a wide shot where you can see everyone. It's just like there's all of the people at the duel and then there's like separate shots of the tracker. And I'm like, can he see them or is he just like close by? And I don't know where he is in that scene.
No clue, but he also gave his dog some beer. So,
yeah. I also liked. I will say there were a couple times, very few. Most of the fighting was amazing, but there were a few times, especially with John, as I feel like it's just in comparison after seeing some of the fights with Donnie Yen, there were a few of John's fight scenes where I could feel the choreography a little bit.
Like I think John is just a little bit slow.
Yeah. I think he's just like not as fast. And so sometimes it felt like not two people fighting but like two people like going through the motions of a fight.
Right Yeah, but I felt like that just because like sometimes when John runs or like that when he's in martial arts fight, it's just slow.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's but John's kind of always been like that even since the beginning. He's never really run fast or I don't know.
What did you think about all the stuff in Berlin?
Yeah, I think it was a good show of the city. I think
I know you said you said you didn't like the I think his name on IMDb is Killa, but the that like the card shark guy with the gold teeth.
Yeah, I think he kind of reminded me of, there's like this show out there, I forget what it's called, The Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
There's a character in The Umbrella Academy who's like this really big buff guy who's like extremely strong. And like his body shape was just kind of off to me. I think he was just like too big.
I gotcha.
Of a dude.
No, I thought that was honestly one of the funniest characters. Like, I think, I don't know, like
he was funny for sure. I just think that like
in chapter 3 with the Zero who was like fanboying all over John Wick. Like I know that was also meant to be funny, but to me that one wasn't as funny to me. It was just like kind of weird and cringy. But this fat guy just like laughing the entire time with his super shiny gold teeth and like sitting there playing cards and just like smirking the whole time. That was hilarious to me.
Oh,
and
interesting.
He's like, everyone's sitting at the table and he's like, well, you want to kill John and you want to kill John and I want to kill John. So let's play cards to see who gets to do it.
Right. And then of course he cheated.
Yeah, he did. But that the fat guy was played by Scott Adkins, who is a very seasoned stunt performer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got some good stuff.
Huh. Interesting. There weren't really like many stunts performed though by him, right?
I mean,
a lot of running away, and then at the very end,
the fighting is stunts, and like
true. Yeah.
Getting like thrown over a railing is a stunt.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, granted, he was an extremely strong dude, like picking up John by like just his like jacket, just by his suit.
Yeah.
It was very impressive. I just think that, I don't know, something about maybe it was like the scenes, like where it was happening in like that disco with like the water falling everywhere.
Bro, I thought that was dope. I was like, I want to go to that club. I don't know why it's so wet, but like, I'm down.
No, I think the dub was dope. The club was dope. I just think that like, it just didn't fit with what I wanted it to be in my head, at least.
I gotcha.
Because he's a member of the high table. Like, there has to be something, right?
Well, I don't think he was.
He was.
I think he was, like, he was appointed by the high table, but I don't think he actually has a seat at the table.
Oh, I thought he did. I thought the lady, to get his crest back, he had to kill this guy because this guy killed
their but I think that the high table hired him to kill their boss, but I don't think he's actually part of the high table.
Okay. Yeah, interesting though. I mean, it was definitely a cool scene. I liked his death.
And also, again, though, that
the card
strange that like this intense fight going on and people are still just dancing.
Yeah, like, I think everyone there was just on drugs. I mean, that's true. Kind of how I took it.
At the very end, people started running away. But for a lot of it, it was like people were right next to them, like punching the shit out of each other. And they're just like, yeah, let's party.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely thought they were all on drugs and just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I also liked the that one guy that the Ruska Roma sent with John, who like covered in tattoos, and he was just like, I am Klaus.
Yeah, I thought that guy was kind of funny. It was like I'm Groot, but Klaus. That's all he said.
Yeah.
Don't know why. And then
the freaking the like brand thing that they had to do, where it was like, welcome back to the family, yeah. And then they like fill up that giant pot and stick their forearms on the side, and you can like hear the skin peel off when they pulled their arms away. I was like,
yeah, that shit was insane. That was wild.
I was also wondering, like, I guess I don't understand the ritual, but like,
how many times is she gonna burn her arm?
She didn't have any other burns, so I'm like, is this her first time? Like, does everyone have to do that to join the family?
I think if you're reintroducing someone after they've been discarded from the family, maybe that's the ritual.
Yeah, so it's only like a second time thing, because the first time would have been like you have the tattoo, the little cross necklace, and then once that gets broken and you get the brand on your back, then you have to get like another brand to be like, no, that thing on my back doesn't count, kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, that's how I took it.
Anyway, that was wild.
I did like that scene quite a bit. Like, also John Wick on the noose, I thought that was really cool. And she did like the power play, and then she was like, well, I could use you.
Yeah.
But I do think if we would have seen her again at the end, that would have been cool, but meh.
Oh, speaking of seeing things at the end, did you stay for the post-credits?
Was there post-credits, dude? None of the other John Wicks had it.
No, I know, but this one did.
Oh, yeah, I fucking dipped out right when it
Okay, ended. So obviously at the Osaka Continental, it like it becomes this huge fucking thing, because the manager there is like good friends with John, and so he's like helping him out even though he's excommunicado. And Donnie Yen's character Kane comes in there, and he's like, listen, because his whole deal is in order to protect his daughter is like under the protection of the High Table, so no one can hurt her.
Right.
But in order to keep that protection, so she's just like living her life, but the High Table is protecting her. But in order to keep that protection, Kane is like under contract where whenever they want to, they can just like give him a person, and they're like, go kill this person.
Right. Dude, isn't that wild that that's like a thing? That's like real?
What do you mean real?
Like, there are definitely people out there where it's like, here's a person's name, go kill them.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
Honestly, I was reading something the other day, I don't even remember, but it was saying like the majority of people who get like arrested for trying to get someone killed is just because like they don't, because obviously people who kill for a living are very secretive people. And so when people are like, oh, I need to hire someone to kill someone, they don't know how to properly do that. And there are so many like fake government websites and like things where it's like, oh, hire a hitman, but then people will go there and like pay someone, but it's like not a real hitman, it's the government. And so they're like, all right, well, we're gonna come arrest you now for trying to hire a hitman.
Right Wait, so what was the post credit? Was it going to see his daughter?
He goes there and he's like, hey, I need to protect my daughter, so I'm not gonna let any of this shit get in the way. And he ends up having a pretty cool sword fight with the manager there. And I don't know, I felt kind of off about that, not in a bad way, because I understand it's like it's a big honor thing, but he gives him an out, and he's like, hey, I'm not gonna kill you, go take care of your daughter. And then the guy is like, I am taking care of my daughter, and turns around and tries to stab him again, and that's when he ends up dying. Then do you not remember that?
No, I thought that was okay. Yes.
But then his daughter is obviously like fucking pissed off because this guy just killed her dad, and she is about to pick up the sword, and then Kane's like bitch, you know I'm gonna kill you if you do that, like, just,
like, please don't,
just leave.
Right.
And then later on, she like meets with John on a subway train, and she's like, hey, I just want you to know, if you don't kill Kane, I'm going to. So deal with your shit.
Right. He doesn't kill Kane.
Right. And so then in the end credit scene, you see Kane, obviously, because he's free now from the High Table, he's like going to approach his daughter, and he has like a bouquet of flowers, and he's super happy. And then you see someone like emerge out of the crowd, and it's the daughter, and she like pulls out like a little knife, like a
katana.
What are the knives that like pop out of the handle? A switchblade, is that what that is?
Yeah.
And like starts walking towards him, and then it cuts to black.
Oh God. Okay, so I didn't miss too much.
No. It's just like a little dying. A little tease.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, I thought at one point that was going to come back up. Like, she was going to join them at their duel and kill him, but never happened.
Yeah, I was also kind of wondering, because, like, after that scene in the beginning, she just, like, doesn't appear again. She's
never there again.
Yeah, but she shows back up in the end credit scene.
Yeah, what made you stay through all the credits?
Like, I just, why? I had a feeling about it, and so I just looked it up real quick. I was like, does John Wick 4 have a credit scene? And it was like, yeah, it does. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll stay then.
You should have told me, man.
Sorry. Fuck.
Well, yeah, I think that was it. I don't have anything else to talk about.
Like, I never stayed for any of the other ones, but every once in a while, I just like, you know, you just like get a feeling. You're like, I feel like there's more here.
I didn't have a feeling. I fucking dipped out. The first credit came up, and I was like, all right, later. Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
But yeah, I think that's all I got.
Me too. I went through my one note.
Yeah, you did. All right then. Well, let's move on to trivia.
Let's do it.
The Paris subway station where John Wick meets the Bowery King and Winston is called Porte de Lilas. And it's often seen in films, as this particular station has a disused platform that is still kept fully functional, specifically so that it can be rented to filmmakers who wish to shoot in the Paris subway, and so that they can do so without interrupting traffic.
Yeah, I wonder, is that the subway that, what is the movie? I'm pretty sure there's like this famous movie, like I think maybe even like Harry Potter or something like that, where the subway gets used.
It's possible. Sure. Did they ever go to Paris in Harry Potter?
I think it was like the afterlife. Oh, dude, there's this one movie. And also, like, isn't it also used in The Matrix, where like the train keeps coming and going, but he gets on, it always brings him back to that one area?
I feel like that was just a set.
Oh, you think that was just a set? Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, they have
interesting.
Yeah, they have a specific subway platform in Paris just for people to shoot movies without getting in the way of the actual subway.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, might as well.
Yeah. This says Donnie Yen's character was initially named Shang or Chang and had a costume with a Mandarin collar, traits which Yen felt were Asian stereotypes. He and the director subsequently rewrote the character, who is now named Kane in the finished version and wears a suit like the majority of the assassins.
I like that. I think Kane was a good name for him.
Yeah. I will say, I didn't realize, because obviously like Kane is a real name, like C-A-I-N-E.
Yeah.
But when they started saying it in the beginning, I was like, is this like a weird nickname because he's blind?
I think that's why, right? That's what I took it as.
No, but I think it's like, I mean, I guess that could have been like a behind the scenes reason, but it's not like, it's not a nickname because he has a cane like that. Just his actual name is Kane.
That's funny. I'm sure they thought of that though.
This says like I mentioned earlier, this movie is 249 minutes and it is the longest John Wick film, being over a full hour longer than the original.
Wow. That's impressive, because it didn't really feel, I mean, when I was watching it, it didn't feel that long, I would say.
And then when you got out, you were like, holy shit.
And then I got out and I was like, dude, this fucking movie, I hate movie theaters. Yeah. Every time when I get out of a movie theater, I'm just like pissed off, honestly.
The and DJ like, in Paris that puts out the call to stop Wick from reaching the church for the duel is an homage to the movie The Warriors, in which a DJ puts out a call to all the gangs in New York to stop the Warriors from reaching Coney Island.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen The Warriors, if you want to go, or if you want to go look up some YouTube clips, it's like almost exactly the same. Like, it's like a close-up of like the girl's mouth against the microphone, and she's like calling everyone boppers, and it's like, I think they even play the same song, which is really? Nowhere to Run.
Oh, yeah, boppers, super cool. I like that. That's pretty dope, yeah.
Sven Markart is how I'm going to say that last name, is the person who plays Klaus and is actually the bouncer of Berlin's most famous techno nightclub.
Oh, cool.
It's called...
Man, it was tatted up, dude.
Berghain? You're going to have to correct me. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know.
Berghain.
Borghain.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a... Apparently, it's super, super big techno club. And he's the bouncer there. And all of those tattoos are just his actual tattoos.
Dude, I believe it. Yeah. That's insane.
And I was doing some more research into it. And it's apparently like really fucking hard to get into that club. Like, he's a strict ass bouncer. Huh. There are like reports that he'll like deny entry if you like say the wrong thing or like smile in a weird way, and there are like websites where they give you tips on how to impress him so that he'll let you in.
Bro, what?
It's fucking Damn. Wild.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
And our final piece of trivia here, Keanu Reeves gifted each stunt performer with a personalized t-shirt detailing how many times that performer met their demise in the film. His 5-person stunt team also received Rolex Submariner watches, each costing around $10,000, with a personalized message on the back of each one.
Unfucking real. Yeah, I saw like an interview with Keanu saying that he gifted his people something. I didn't know what it was, but wow.
Yeah, gave him a $10,000 watch and a t-shirt.
That's insane. Those are like polar opposites on the cost spectrum.
Yeah. I was saying, I saw another trivia like right after this one that was saying like some of the stunt performers on their t-shirts had over 20 deaths.
Holy crap. Wow.
And like, I don't know, I feel like they did such a good job with like makeup and stuff. I don't think there was ever a point where like I never noticed that it was like the same people dying over and over again.
Yeah, I don't ever realize that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They do a good job fucking dying 20 times and I don't notice. I'm an idiot.
Like, haven't I seen that guy die before?
Right? Oh wait, didn't he just die in front of this scene? What?
But yeah, that's all our trivia.
I love that. That was good. And I brought that trivia at the very beginning with the Viper.
You did, you know, you did.
Viper weapon. It's fucking incredibly expensive. But yeah, good movie overall. Definitely would recommend watching it.
Yes.
I think the whole all 4 chapters are pretty good. They definitely tie into each other, which I really do respect, because sometimes it's completely different, or it feels sometimes like with a Fast and Furious franchise, they just kind of want more money.
Yeah.
But this one made sense. Like 4 chapters, it's set. It's good.
Okay. You ready to get wrecked?
Let's do it.
Why don't you go first this time?
Oh shit. Okay. So when I was helping my sister, this is gonna be dumb. When I was helping my sister, she apparently likes this. I'm just gonna say it. She loves Coke Cherry. And I'd never tried the Coke Cherry cans, just because like I feel like cherry and Coke it just sounds disgusting. But they're actually really fucking good. So if you ever have a chance, and if you've never had a Coke Cherry, give it a shot. It's not bad.
Did it? Have they changed it to where it like does it say it backwards on the can?
Because
I've always known it as Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coca-Cola.
Never heard anyone say Coke Cherry.
Yeah, Cherry Coca-Cola. I'm sure that's probably the right way to say it.
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest fan of Cherry Coke, but I like it better than normal Coca-Cola.
Huh? Yeah. I don't know. It was. I liked it.
But that's just because I really don't like normal Coca-Cola.
Yeah. What kind of drink do you like then? What you go to?
I mean, in the Coke Pepsi debate, I'm more of a Pepsi person. But as far as Coke by itself goes, literally any flavor other than regular. I'll take a Coke Zero. I'll take a Diet Coke. I'll take a vanilla Coke, cherry Coke, anything, but I really don't like normal Coca-Cola.
Interesting. What's wrong with it?
It's just too thick. It feels like I'm literally drinking maple syrup.
Interesting. Oh, I can see that though, yeah. All right, well, that was my wrecked recommendation. What about yours?
My recommendation is going to be Bott's Every Flavor Beans. Which you might recognize from the Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, wait, what? Because you were there recently.
Yeah, I recently went to Harry Potter World. I actually didn't get the beans from Harry Potter World, though. I got them when Elaine and I went to New York. We were just walking down the street and we saw like a little Harry Potter store. And I was like, oh, this is cute. We should go inside and see what they have. And then it was like way bigger than I thought it was going to be. Like it looked like a tiny little corner store. And then it was like half the building was a Harry Potter store.
Bro.
I was like, oh my God.
That's a Harry Potter thing right there, man. You walk into a tent and it's a full blown mansion.
And so I got some every flavor beans while we were there. And I've been snacking on them since then. And they're delicious.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so as for the people that don't know, you went on a work trip for work and you just fucking went to fucking the Harry Potter World.
Okay, no. I worked on my work trip.
Yeah, sure you did. Sure you did. Probably finish it in 2 days. You're like, yeah, I have 3 days left over. I'm going to go to Harry Potter World. Yep. God. So lucky, dude.
But yeah, they have obviously every flavor means every flavor. And so there are some weird ones in there, like a booger and earwax and that sort of stuff.
Right.
But,
right,
you know,
right.
you take the good with the bad.
Right. Have you had some of the bad?
I think I had one earwax one. But honestly, I haven't been looking.
Like,
I'm just
honestly,
like,
I liked that.
No, but I'm just like, I haven't been looking when I like snack on them. I'll just like randomly grab one out of the box. Yeah. And so far, I've been like most of the ones I've grabbed are good flavors.
Oh, okay. What's your best flavor you've had so far?
They have a marshmallow one that's really good.
Interesting. I'm not like really a jelly bean type of person, but my sister loved them.
Fucking love jelly beans.
I don't know. They're just too for me. It's gross.
Okay.
But good rack for those people. Yeah. I definitely want to try that because at least those I'll get at one point in life. But yeah.
Yeah. So for our listeners, I would just like to say, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. We are everywhere, not everywhere, but most places.
Yeah.
Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. And, links for all of our profiles and email and stuff will be in the description. And Luca, if you'd like to tell them what kind of a message they can send us.
Well, I mean, honestly, anything. You can send us different recommendations of whatever you think would be a good rec, or you can send us movie recommendations. You can let us know how awesome our podcast it is and that you love us. Give us your thoughts and feedback on some movies and give us new recommendations. And yeah, if there's anything that you would, you know, want to say what we can do better or what you think would be cool to incorporate, just let us know, like what we just did.
All right. And per our message from last week, I suppose we should tell everyone what we're going to be looking at next week.
Which is,
I don't know. I think we'll do Knock at the Cabin.
What is that? Is that a horror movie, dude?
I don't know if horror is the right way to describe it, but it's a thriller for sure.
Ugh, okay.
Toy
Story or...
It's the newest M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Okay, all right, well. There you go. So if you want to prep like we do for the next episode, definitely watch that movie.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.